Missions is what the church is all about. If it's not about missions, if it's not about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the church is not the church. And yet, as I began to think about the subject that Brother Clay had given me to share this morning, as we think about the values that we have as the people of God, I struggle to find a passage. I couldn't very well preach the whole Bible, although that's what it's about. Amen. I don't think you would be here for the entire message if I tried to share the entire Bible, but this is a message about missions. Amen. Because it's a message about Jesus, and Jesus is about missions. And so I struggled to find a passage, and I settled on two this morning. The first one is in Exodus chapter 19, and we're going to stand and read that word in just a moment, but let me give you a little background. The people of Israel are only 3 months away from slavery. They are now traveling through a very dry and very desert land, a land without water, and yet God miraculously gave the people of Israel water from rocks, a land without food, and yet God gave them food called manna and quail, heavenly food, you might say. They were fresh out of slavery. They had come to the Red Sea. Their backs were against the Red Sea, and as they lifted their eyes, they were beginning to see that the Egyptians, who had finally agreed to let them go out of slavery and go to the promised land, the Egyptians had changed their mind, and they were coming fast on their heels. The back against the Red Sea, the Egyptian army before them, what were they going to do? And Moses, under the leadership of the Lord, you know, stretched forth his arm with the rod of God, and the waters of the Red Sea divided, the wind blew, the land dried out, and the people went through the Red Sea on dry ground. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And if the Bible says it, I believe it. Amen? Amen. But they went through on dry ground, and you need to understand there were probably 1 million people with their flocks and herds. They went through on dry ground, and as they got out to the other side, the last lamb was on the other side, the last child was on the other side, the last parent was on the other side. They looked, and the Egyptians had entered that dry ground, coming quickly on their heels. And what happened? Again, Moses raised the rod of God over the Red Sea, and the waters returned, and the Egyptians were destroyed. Salvation had come to Israel. So this was indelibly printed on their hearts and on their minds. Still fresh on their minds. They'd come to Mount Sinai, and Moses had gone up for a little meeting with God. Now, I'm sure that was a little different experience, right? What would it be like to walk into the presence of God? To be able to see with your eyes God Almighty, maybe not in the form that we think about, but see and to sense and to feel and to know. But yeah, we have that experience, don't we? Not in a physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. But God, Moses went up to have his meeting with God, and God gave him a message for the people of Israel. And you might think, well, now how is he going to get a mission sermon out of this passage? Well, bear with me. It'll all fit together in due time. Would you stand now for the reading of God's word? I'm going to be in Exodus chapter 19. And then I'm going to be over in 1 Peter chapter 2. So lick your finger and get over there. And we're going to read together from the Word of God. And if you don't have it found in your Bible, it'll be on the screen. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version, verse 5, chapter 19. Now then, this is the message that God had for the people of Israel. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And then in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, now I want you to remember what God said to the people of Israel. And as I read the words of Peter to the church, look at the similarity of those words. Verse 9 of chapter 2. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Father, we ask that you would bless the reading and the study of your word this morning. And Lord, though it is my voice and my mouth, we pray, Lord, that it's your message, and that you would open our hearts and our minds that we might receive the word that you have for us today. And we give you the praise and honor and glory that's due your name, because I do pray in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated. God had a plan. God never acts and never speaks without a plan in mind. And he had the plan from the foundation of the world. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And he knew exactly what the people that he had created were going to do. And he had a plan from the beginning of time until the time in which we are living today. He had a plan, and he spoke to the people of Israel, and his plan was that they would become a kingdom of priests. A kingdom because they were servants to the king. They were to become priests. Those who stood between sinful man and holy God. A priest who would speak to God for the people. That's what the Bible says. And who would speak to the people for Almighty God. They were to be a kingdom of priests. And you might even insert the word missionary there. Because in the sense that God wanted them to minister was not unlike a missionary would serve today. What Brother J.R. does, what we did for 21 years in East Africa as your missionaries, reaching out and touching lives, pointing men and women and boys and girls to the Savior. Amen. They were to be a kingdom of priests, speaking to God for the people, what I call prayer. That's what we do every day. You and I know people who need the Lord in their lives. They need healing in their lives. They need ministering to in their lives. And we lift them into the presence of God. We talk to God every day about family members and about friends. That's carrying on the work of the Lord. That's being a priest before God. These people, this is what God had called him to do. This is what he had established the nation of Israel for. To be a kingdom of priests. To stand between the lost of the world and holy God. And by sharing the love of God to bring the two together. They were to make sacrifices for the people. They did that. They were to do whatever it was that God led them to do. And when Moses came down from the mountain and said, "This is what God says. I want you to be a nation and a kingdom of priests to speak for the people to God and speak for God to the people." And the people of Israel said, "All that God has said, we will do." They said it, but they didn't do it. Reminds us of ourselves, doesn't it? We often talk very quickly with our mouths and agree that we will do whatever it is that God wants us to do, that we will go wherever God wants us to go, that we will follow his leadership and step in his steps. But then when it comes time to do, our actions fall short. They said, "All that God has said, we will do," but they didn't. In fact, the Bible says that they did not become that kingdom of priests that God intended from the foundation of the world. In fact, they did not become a separated people. God had hoped that they would become a holy nation, set apart for the ministry of the Lord, separate from the values, living lives that were separate from the values of the world, that followed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and do everything that God commanded them to do and set them apart from the nations of the world. They didn't become that kind of nation. Instead of becoming a kingdom of priests, they said, "We want a priest. We want somebody to stand between us and God. We want somebody to speak for us to God. And we want somebody to tell us what it is that God is trying to say." Well, God still has a plan. And that's what the first Peter passage is all about. You see, what Israel failed to do or refused to do, God took that work from the nation of Israel and is now giving it to his body, the church. A body that is living under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. A body that has been saved by grace through faith in Jesus. A body that has experienced the salvation of the Lord. And he's called us to be priests of God. You remember during the crucifixion, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. You remember when Jesus was on the cross and as it came time for him to complete the work that he had been nailed to the cross to complete. And he gave up his ghost. That's what Matthew says. Mark says he cried, "It is finished." You remember what happened in the temple? The curtain. You remember about the curtain? The curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the courtyard of the people, the place that only the priests could go, and the place that they could only go certain times during the year, and the place that was so sacred, they were so afraid that when they went into that place, the Holy of Holies, when the high priest went into that place, they were so afraid that they would meet God face to face and they would die. So when they entered, they tied a rope to their foot so that when they died, somebody could pull them out without stepping into the presence of God. Well, that curtain, it was torn in two, not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom, to signify this was the act of God. And that shows us that we are to be priests before God, that God opened up His presence to every born-again child of God. If you are here this morning, you are a priest before God. We don't need somebody to stand between us and God. We have Jesus as our great high priest who is sitting in the presence of God, and He is interceding on our behalf, and we can always and ever enter into the presence of God. We can pray. Amen. We can speak for the people to God. We can pray. Why? Because I'm a priest before God. Why? Because I have been called by God into that ministry. And I want to say to you, the priesthood of the believer is not before a select few. It's for every born-again child of God. It's not for a body that we call deacons. It's not just for pastors like Brother Clay and myself. It's for every born-again child of God. We can pray for the lost. We can pray for those who are hurting. We can pray for those who have experienced loss in their life and are experiencing bereavement at this time. We can talk to God for the people. But we can also talk for God to the people. You see, that's not just something that God has called me to do and Brother Clay to do. It's something He's called every one of us to do. Talk for God to the people. We do that when we witness, do we not? When we share our testimony, we're talking to the people for God. It's what we do when Clay and I stand in the pulpit to share a message. It's what every Sunday school teacher does when they stand and bring a lesson to the people. It's what you do when you have an opportunity, one of those divine appointments, where you have a co-worker, a family member that God brings you into contact with and gives you a unique opportunity to share the faith that you have in Jesus Christ and to share your experience and what God has done for you. That's talking to the people for Almighty God. Amen. You see, that's missions. But that's not all that missions is. We could pick a number of passages, and I could pick a number of passages and talk about this aspect of mission or that aspect of missions. The Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of every nation. That is about witnessing. It's about evangelism, but it's also about discipleship. That's a part of missions. We could talk about Jesus feeding the 5,000 with a boy's lunch. That's missions. We could talk about Him raising the dead and healing the sick. That's missions. It's hard for us to get one passage of Scripture out of the entire Bible that talks about every aspect of missions, and yet I believe this one comes as close to any Scripture there is. We talk to God about people, and we talk to people about what God is telling us, but that's not all that missions is. But folks, I want to remind you, not only is that the job of every born-again believer, but it's the job of every born-again believer to use whatever aspect there is to point people to the Master. Amen. Because if it's not about Jesus, we don't need to be doing it. Amen. If we're feeding the hungry, we need to do it in such a way that it points people to Jesus. If we're out here building a building or whatever it might be, we need to do it in such a way that we're pointing men and women, boys and girls, to the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whatever we're doing as missionaries, as priests before God, it ought to be with the emphasis on Christ. With our fingers and our lives and our words, our actions pointing men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus Christ. Because you see, you can fill a belly with good food, but if that person hasn't been saved, if they haven't received the gospel, they're still going to die and go to hell.
Amen.
You can put up the building, the best building there is, for people to live in or to worship in or whatever the case may be, but if they haven't met the Master, they're still going to die and go to hell.
Amen.
Do you understand? When we plan whatever it is that we're going to do as missionaries, we need to make sure that everything ties in to the person of Jesus Christ. We're about missions. Southern Baptists are about missions because the Bible's about missions. And we're people of the book. We're about missions because that's who Jesus was. And again, folks, let me say this. We do what Jesus did. And Jesus didn't ask the people to come to him. He went where the people were. He went where the people were. See, y'all come might have been a good approach to reaching the lost in the 50s and 60s. But in today's age, it won't work. So we've got to go where they are. And we go with where they are, taking Jesus with us. Using all method, not one method as opposed to another, but all methods to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I praise the Lord for people who are willing to go, and they need our support. They need our prayer support. They need our financial support. And this church has done well in supporting missions through our state missions, our national missions, our international missions offerings. We give a portion of our cooperative program money that goes to the Southern Baptist Convention, where a portion of that goes to home missions and a portion to foreign missions. We've been good at supporting financially. But there is nothing that will replace hands-on. Getting your hands dirty for the cause of Christ. And you've done that. But can we do it better? Can we do more of it? And can we always make sure that what we do points people to Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity of being here this morning, for the opportunity of, Lord, sharing from our hearts. And we do thank you for Brother Flores and his family and for their ministry. We pray for them. We pray for this church. And we pray, Lord, that we will take up the mantle of missions, and that, Lord, we will be your priest out there in the world, standing between the lost world and the holy God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.